James, thanks very much for joining us. I wanted to drill down a little bit with you in terms of the rescue package that European Union has come up with. What does this all mean for real estate, James?
It goes back to some of the sort of the simple sort of corporate issues. You know, if there's going to be near-term liquidity problems, we're going to have companies that are real estate managers and operators that are just having to kind of, you know, make sure that they have enough cash flow. This comes down to things like the rent collection rates and the interrelationship between landlords and tenants and their lenders, and that's become more kind of sharpened and focused than before. So these the pre-existing strains prior to this crisis still continues for an unknown number of months. So a lot of real estate tenants and managers still are going to have to kind of find ways to meet their short-term liquidity needs. And in the more medium term, it's a solvency issue, which is like their self-sustaining ability to generate enough money to run their operating costs and to return to profitability. So those struggles will be looking at making, it's the same. It's looking after your tenants, the tenants making sure that they can at least be transparent with their landlords, the landlords doing the same, having the same relationship with their debt providers. If there's a, and then of course, if there's a second wave and there's a further forced lockdowns, whether at national or regional level, this could exacerbate. We could see another wave of EU sort of bankruptcies and in the UK insolvencies. We could have a state where we have sort of like zombie companies that are protected in the EU from bankruptcy just because of legislation. What this means is that we're not quite out of the woods yet. We need to watch very closely what the allocations are to the member states, how quickly the EU raises the capital, how quickly it disseminates it to member states, how member states themselves disseminate this to their economies. Those are all the unknowns. And so what that means in terms of net demand is also tied up with kind of the changing behaviors that we've seen in the lockdown period. And we're still all working through and really trying to see how many of these behavioral changes are temporary and permanent. And of course, everybody has an opinion about which side it falls on, but we've been wrong as many times as we've been right. And so the outcomes are never what we think they are. And there's so many variables that we know and that we know we don't know that have an impact on that rapidly. So I think that uncertainty continues for a while, and the investment thesis of a lot of funds might need revising. Go into a situation where there's not just a second wave, but a third wave. So it's so much of what this means for real estate is actually back to sort of when we get a vaccine and how quickly we can distribute it, and how long does this vaccine take to effect, and does it stay in the system? Do we need it once per year? Do we need it once per lifetime? Do we need one dose or two dose? All these interrelated variables feed back into the kind of confidence of markets. One sort of comparison is Germany. We've all talked about how well the Germany's done in terms of its transaction volumes, in terms of its kind of management of the health crisis, and so it's a good one. It's a good case study to look at. And one way of looking at why, you know, retail's come back in Germany, business investments come back in Germany, there's been big corporate transactions in Germany in our sector. To an extent, it's the perception of the risk that the country has managed and done so well that it has given confidence in individuals to become consumers again. It's given confidence for governments to encourage their people, their populations to go back to work, and for companies to reinvest in their companies and in their staff, and then for external institution investors to invest in those jurisdictions and buy assets in our sector, including small or the big corporate transactions. So the sense of their perceived risk was relatively far more impressive than many member countries. They really did stand out. And I think that's that perception of risk management is a big account for why they have such good numbers in real estate, and why they have such improved retail, and why their GDP for Q2 was less bad than almost everywhere else among the big five or six economies in Europe. But our confidence and our health crisis management remains fragile. Things can change very quickly. We've already seen some sort of outbreaks again around Europe, and actually still in America and in Asia. We're not out of the woods yet, and sentiment can change quickly, and therefore capital can retrench with it.
Great. Thanks very much, James. Always good to get your analysis on these kind of evolving but quite complex pictures. So thanks very much for joining us.